Bluebeard has taken another wife, another unfortunate soul who has fallen for his dubious charms, and now finds herself solely in command of his castle. As always, he has granted her the keys, and bid her explore everywhere, everywhere except the small cupboard in the main hall. So now she explores, with every room revealing more and more of her husband's nature, but always trying to stave off the growing interest in the one room that she was forbidden. Join us now as we play Bluebeard's Bride, powered by the Apocalypse Game.
Hello, and welcome to episode 208 of The Court of Tea and Dice, and despite the fact that Mordrigan is doing this for the second time, he's still locked at the fucking board! I will be your room keeper for the evening as we play Bluebeard's Bride. Who are you? Oh. Why are you here?
I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing the Virgin.
Who's part of?
The Bride of Bluebeard.
I am Bloodied. We'll come to who I am later.
I'm going to let you into a secret. He's probably playing part of the bride.
Maybe.
Tulip.
I'm the witch, and I am also part of the bride.
You're also Tulip. You're not just... She's a witch. We invite you to play the part of the witch.
I'm a witch.
Typecasting.
I am Tulip, and I am the witch.
Indeed. We're hoping that Von will be able to join us soon. She is currently trapped on a train, rendered shit by the beast from the east. Could take a little while. We will see if she joins us or not.
Like to have called her husband that, but he didn't consummate.
He hasn't consummated yet.
No.
He didn't come from the east, or indeed any other cardinal direction. So
north, south, east, west, and just not the Irish Sea.
Just... Ladies and gentlemen,
off my head there.
It has been a long weekend, and...
Worth pointing out, Bloodied is also recovering from jet lag, because he just got back from California yesterday.
Okay, so you're jet lagged. My excuse is I had to go to work. Mm. I think that's pretty much everyone's excuse, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I still have a nosebleed.
Oops. Don't lose your brains out of your nose. That would be bad.
I won't. Obviously, it's because everything was too,
sexy.
Was too much.
Everything was sexy.
I know, and we were only talking. Oh yeah. My gosh.
Let's just do a very, very quick and punchy recap. And I keep saying it, quick and punchy recap. And we always don't do that. Can anybody remember what happened last time? Bluebeard fucked off and left you with a bunch of keys and told you, don't go in the little room down the end there. And you were like, okay. No, seriously, don't go down the little room at the end there. Cool. We'll actually go and look at some other rooms. Really want to look in the room down there. And you started looking around the house. What was the first room that you found?
Oh, it was that big well with the copper door and
the skeleton chained up on the wall.
And the bloodstained bucket. And the water lady. The ghost of the water lady.
Yeah.
And you decided, for some reason, that you were going to take the bloodstains with you as a mark of your faithfulness.
No. Oh, yeah, because they're attached to our legs.
Yes.
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 So you decided that proved that Bluebeard was good because he didn't do this. One of his servants did. He totally probably didn't tell them to do it. It's fine. And then you went to...
He's a bad employer.
No. He just hires the wrong people, obviously. And then I believe you went to the treasure room.
We went to the treasure room where there was a guy sitting there doing the accounts.
Yeah. I'm sure he even had a name. I think you asked him at some point. I can't remember what it is.
I didn't write it down. It wasn't a matter.
It's not important. And there were several examples of where he got his money from.
None of them very good, let's be honest.
No, it wasn't great.
Slavery, war, indentured servitude.
There was a whole box of wedding dresses.
Yeah. Ooh, can I have a pencil, please?
Mm-hmm.
I've just realised I might need one of those.
Oh, yeah, a whole box of wedding dresses.
Yep. Yeah.
There was room for more.
Yep.
there was a
label saying plus one. Which obviously referred to yours, so yeah.
And I believe we tried to help the accountant because he hadn't eaten for
many, many days.
Yes.
Quite a few days. Hundreds of days.
Mm. So we called the cook, I think.
Yeah.
Or the housekeeper or someone like that.
Yeah, yeah. You unplugged him from the spike in his head.
Mm.
And her plan was to put the spike in your head, so you'd do the do the accounts instead.
No, we didn't want to do that, though.
No. And I believe the witch made her do it instead.
Yes.
But someone certainly spiked the cook with the spiky thing.
I think it was you.
One has to have a hobby.
I think it was you. I think you did it. You basically said, no, you do it. And she went, okay.
I think that was...
It wasn't.
I think Vaughn did that.
It was the Animus, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think it was Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the Animus's face move. So it's all Vaughn's fault. You're off the hook.
I totally said her to do it. I was there.
You did tell her to do it. But then you escaped that room, realising that you took the dress token with you, and that sort of made you a bit disloyal, because it's obvious that he just considers you another dress in the box. And then you went to the weird magic room, with all the floating lanterns and the wonderful painted roof, and the creepy fucking dude smoking cigars in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What happened in there so far? Because of course,
I spilt my blood to commune with to commune with the tarot deck and do magic stuff.
He spotted that. He was like,
He did.
What did that tell you? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I think it something probably. Vital. This guy is dodgy as fuck. Don't trust him. And then he asked you to sit on his knee, so...
And very sensibly, we said no. What I did like, because while we've been talking to these people, we've all been referring to ourselves as we.
Hmm. So then, I believe we will begin at exactly the moment that we left. The lights have gone out, and all around you there are some cigar smoke. You can hear the creepy cigar man creeping around the room. Sometimes over the left. Sometimes over the right. These are not directional microphones, so that won't be coming through. So then, are you still more scared of me than the dark?
Yes.
Yes.
Not very brave. Just a piece of record keeping. As Vaughn isn't here, the Virgin currently has the ring. So magical, are we?
No.
Strange. You seemed awfully magical when you were playing with the cards.
I was just mucking around.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should have some mucking around of our own. Something slaps you on the arse.
Maybe you should remember who our husband is.
Oh, I know exactly who your husband is. I think it's you, madam, who does not.
And are you going to tell him about how you touched us?
Silence continues.
Can we tell where he is?
No. He seems to have faded into the darkness. The room sort of has that full quality that a room has when there's somebody else in it. You know that there is somebody there. You don't know where they are at this time.
Maybe we should hold our breath and then see where he is.
Was there a gambling table in here?
There was a card table with tarot cards on it.
And did that fill most of the room, or...?
Just one end.
Okay.
There were lanterns all over the room as well.
I think we should maybe try and back away.
That's right in your ear. And a hand sort of snakes its way around your waist.
Excellent! We have him trapped! Defeat him! Punch him in the face.
You could dirty yourself with violence if you wish, Virgin.
Ooh.
Although I'm not particularly certain how well you'll find that. I mean, it's not really your thing, is it?
Not really.
You need someone much more carnal for that. But you could give up the ring to somebody else.
If you give it to me, I will caress him on his ballsack and then crush it.
Which is not a bad choice.
True.
But somebody more carnal might be more effective.
Yes.
And remember, he'll be immune to trauma until that person gives up the ring.
Oh, good. Do you want the ring, Witch? Or should I...
Sorry, I'm assaulting the microphone.
Another sister.
I shall pass it to another sister.
Rising from the depths of the subconscious comes another sister. Introduce thyself.
I am the Fatale.
Oh, yes. The sexy, sexy Fatale. So this hand has snaked its way round your waist, and you can feel the man's hot, somewhat smoky breath on the back of your neck. Maybe we should have a little fun.
I reach my hand back, our hand back, mm-hmm. and caress the side of his face. I'd like to caress a horror.
It does seem like that's what you're doing. So, in that case...
caress the horror.
Too late, it's been done. So you would roll two dice and add your blood, I don't know,
which is plus one.
You're a bad sister, you're a bad, bad sister. Destroy him in his face.
Fucking hell. Right, so you may... on a hit, which is 10 or more, 10 or more, the horror is swayed by your stroke. Direct what was intended for you to another victim in the house.
You might find someone more pliant elsewhere. Say, the treasure room?
You're awful. I hate your face.
The accountant isn't really my speed.
Oh, it's not the accountant.
Really? There's somebody else there now, is there?
Oh, yes. Let's just say the cook became involved.
Flowery. Full of vigour. Let's see if she'll roll about in the gold. You hear the door slam open and slam shut. You don't see anything, because, of course, it's still dark in here. Off in the distance, you hear very quiet women's screams. Just one woman, quite far away. What do you do? Apart from wish you hadn't summoned the Fatale from your subconscious, obviously.
Can we kill her already?
Can we?
Can we put her back?
Back in the box. Back in the box.
Yeah.
Once released, never lost.
Can we just leave the room now, please?
Yeah.
Does that count as an escape? Or can we just leave when there's no horror?
You can escape if you wish, but if you do, you will take some issue. I am supposed to give you a hard bargain or an ugly choice, which certainly I can't remember what they are. I could
surely an ugly choice is directing him towards someone else.
But that's already been done. And that's how you got rid of him.
This is the quickest I've come to hate my character in a game.
Welcome to Bluebeard's Bride.
First thing, I hate myself, Jesus.
Yeah, but...
Don't hate yourself, bloodied.
Yeah. I hate Bluebeard. It's all his fault.
Yeah.
Fucking
hate the groundskeeper for suggesting such a horrible, hideous horror.
What? It's my job.
It's a good job I didn't have the ring, because I would have totally shivered with fear there.
Yes. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm watching out for that. Because when you shudder with fear, in real life, I get to do shit. Which is quite awful, really. But no, you would totally have given me a shiver in fear there. Oh, fucking come on.
We should propose a truth about this.
You should probably propose a truth about the room.
Right. So.
So we have to decide if...
The Tatal. Has to decide whether you trust
you. I get to manipulate.
Yes, you can lie, dissemble, and try and lead the Fatal to your own particular truth all you like. But at the end, it's the Fatal who's going to tell us what's going on in this room, and it's the Fatal who decides whether it's a token of loyalty or, you know, not.
Well, I mean... Obviously, we've been slightly faithful by sending that horrendous thing somewhere else. But what sort of husband would put a trap like that in a room?
One who wants to be certain.
Not one I want to be married to.
All men are brutes, but some brutes are more useful than others.
Oh, you're talking about his large bank account again.
He does have such a lot of money.
It's rather vast.
You've seen a small percentage of it, and it filled a very large room. Bear with me, I'm just downloading the rules. Finally, I have the rules.
But what I would say, my dear, is that he obviously isn't interested in us, or he would have consummated. Doesn't that wound your pride a little?
I suppose.
What say you, Virgin?
It's just hideous in here. I don't like it.
So not a terrible accent.
Let's go home.
Yes. Or at least out the room. It's a horrible room.
Well, there's certainly nothing to be gained here.
So, are you going to propose a truth of the room?
I'm not sure what sort of form would that take.
Well, the last time you proposed a truth, it was the treasure room. And the truth proposed by, I believe, the witch was that Bluebeard had captured this young man and shoved a spike in his head to make sure that his money was always carefully read. And you were just another commodity. Hence the token being the plus one bridal dress in this pile token.
Yep.
So what would be the truth of this room set up for magic and sorcery and with a pervert in the corner? a pervert who was more than willing to tell you anything you asked, but was also quite interested in leading you into sin.
This room was set by Bluebeard as a snare to trick his bride.
It was a test,
plural.
Yes, a snare to detect disloyalty.
Mordrigan keeps hitting the mic today. So, what token will you take? A token of faithfulness, which if you had taken any, Toronto would heal you by one. Or a token of disloyalty, which will cause you a trauma.
That is actually the truth. Just saying.
I would say a token of disloyalty.
And what do you take? Something from the room.
The smell of cigar smoke?
It clings to your dress. Mark down a point of trauma.
Oh, how desperate.
Was that Macbeth you quoted there? Very appropriate.
Certainly some form of Scottish play.
So at this point you find yourself outside the room. Now, Fatal, I believe you still hold the ring. So, at this point, you find yourself looking at the ring of keys. What does the next key that draws your attention look like?
It's long and thin as a wire.
Is it decorated? What colour is it?
It's bronze. It is decorated with thorns, as though on the stem of a rose.
Excellent. This room takes you much longer than the others so far to find. You have to search for a considerable amount of time. You find yourself in a quieter wing of the house. Fewer servants. Not quite so nice drapes. And you find yourself in front of a door. Well, more a gate than a door. It is tall and bronze, and made out of bars, like a wrought iron gate, although you can't see through it, because twined through it are roses. Every rose growing well, but with black flowers hanging from the boughs. You open the door and enter, and find yourself in, well, effectively, you find yourself outside, almost. It is a balcony overlooking the valley that the castle is in. All around, there are roses growing up the walls, twirling round pillars, climbing higher up the side of the hill, the castle. They twine in and out of wrought iron trellises, all painted with the same bronze paint. A cold wind blows across the balcony, and you see a white marble balustrade, badly cracked and damaged on one side, that looks out over a very long drop down to the ground. In the corner there is a notebook lying on a seat with a quill tucked in it. And in the other corner, a small table upon which sits a plate with a serving bowl over the top. What do you do?
I go over
the diary. Read the diary.
The witch wants you to read the diary, but you head over to the bowl. It's a plain plate with one of those silver serving things above. It's finely wrought with filigree climbing up the sides again. Looks not unreminiscent of roses. They twine together, But instead of flowers, they have little skulls.
What do you do?
So, it's plate and there's a serving.
There's a, you know, one of those silver things with a handle on the top. And that has a filigree of roses.
Okay, so I can't see what's in that.
Not yet. You could lift the lid.
Open it.
I'll lift the lid.
You lift up the lid, and it's strangely heavy. And place it to one side. And there is a meal. Although somewhat gone off now. It's obviously been here a while. Slices of pork gone green and rancid. Potatoes all brown and mottled. Gravy that was separated in white fatty lumps. And set dead in the centre, like a centrepiece for a table or something, one jade green beetle. Upside down, and still waving its legs. Also on the plate are a knife and a fork. But they're not like the silverware that you're used to in this castle. They're dull and blunt. Dark grey, dinted. What do you do?
I replace the lid.
Put the lid back on the plate, covering up the beetle, still waving its legs. Then what do?
Go have a look at the diary.
You wander across the balcony towards the diary, and the wind whips at you and causes you to shiver in cold. You step forward and lift the diary. It is strangely heavy. It feels as if it carries a great weight. The outside of the book is freezing cold. It almost numbs your hand. You take a quick flick through it. It seems to be written in a woman's hand. It starts off quite flowing letters at the beginning of the book. They speak of happy times and warm days, walking in the sunshine. It seems to be somebody who is at least close to your husband. But then as time goes on, the handwriting becomes more jagged, more scribbly, less careful. It wanders up and down along the line, becomes spiky, like an angry, angry voice screeching in your ear. Do you turn to where the quill is?
Mm-hmm.
The last section. Read only that I am cold. I am cold and I am still out here, but I have to remain here. I am sure of it. Perhaps I will try what I have been suggested. Perhaps what the voices have told me to do. I will fly into the sun and warm myself. And then it ends. What do you do?
I look over the edge of the balcony.
Far below, the castle does indeed rise up in numbers of levels. Below you, about 80 or 90 feet, you see two roofs come together in a V-shaped groove. And in the bottom of that V-shaped groove, there is a mass of flesh and bones, all wrapped in a white dress. What do you do?
I wonder why that dress isn't in the treasury.
That is a question.
It is very cold here.
Maybe she's not a bride.
Oh, sweetie. You're nearly as naive as our other sister there.
Hey!
Just because a woman wears white, it does not make her a bride.
That was a very witch-like cackle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yes, I suppose. Perhaps he doesn't know.
The wind blows and howls, causing you to shiver. What do you do? I need to get a sirenscape for this bit.
I think we should climb up the roses.
It's a possibility, certainly.
How far up do they go?
How far up does the castle go? These roses seem to go the whole way.
The question becomes, how far do we want to go?
What do you do?
I assume the door can't be reopened.
The door is shut. You could attempt to escape if you wish. If you're willing to pay the price. You could wrench the door open for certain.
Or I could climb the roses.
You could attempt that too, certainly. But if you try and wrench the door open or climb the roses, well, I'm fairly certain that the thorns will prick you. And it's awfully cold out here. Very cold indeed. What do you do?
You begin to climb.
Very well. So I suspect that this is an attempt to escape, is it not?
Mm-hmm. That would seem to fit.
So you attempt to climb up to, what, the nearest window?
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly do that. Certainly do that. But you will, unfortunately, tear up your hands, and tear up your clothes, and generally enter the next room bedraggled and unwomanly. You can either protect yourself or protect your clothing. Which would you prefer?
I would protect myself.
Myself. Yes. Because there is more than one of you. So. The wind cuts off as you begin to climb. You climb and... As you do so, you wrap your dress around your hands and use it to help you to avoid damage. But by the time you reach the next room, your wedding dress is ripped to tatters. Terrible. Terrible. I believe at this point you must give up the ring. Who do you give it to?
I will give it to the witch.
So we are at the top.
Yes, you've re-entered a hallway, having decided that the balcony was a little too much for you. So what does the next key look like?
It is... very plain, with the initials VT on the long rusted, but sort of tarnished arm. It's quite an old key.
Again, it doesn't take you long to find this room. It seems to just be down the hall from where you've entered. Again, you're still in the older, quieter section. You find a plain wooden plank door at the end of the corridor. It's dusty, covered in webs. Seems not to have been used in a long while. The dust has grown up around it. You put the key in and the door opens with an agonized creaking sound. Almost like a scream of pain, but not quite. Not quite. You enter into what is effectively a box room. Crates abound. There are bookcases filled with books that are mouldering and falling apart. There are webs everywhere. Boxes piled upon boxes piled upon boxes. In one corner, a dark-looking suit of armour hangs from a stand. In another corner, a large wardrobe, all covered in dust. And with a broken mirror on the door stands. As you enter, you hear a sound from deeper into the room, where it seems like a pile of boxes may have collapsed. And in the far end of the room, beyond the pile of boxes, there is a window, slatted, but with a handle to open the slats. What do you do?
I'm going to care for the person under the boxes.
You go and find the person. It takes you a little while. There's been a huge collapse of boxes, and trapped underneath, there seems to be an elderly-looking woman. She looks up at you as you come closer.
Ah! Somebody's come to the room, finally. Welcome, welcome to the ballroom. Isn't it fantastic? I am afraid I can't get up.
Are you okay?
Oh, well. It's a less than perfect day, admittedly.
Day? How long have you been here?
Some time.
Ooh! She reaches out and catches a spider that was walking along the ground and pops it in her mouth, crunching it.
Oh, great Dracula reference.
It's nice when they come closer. It's much easier to catch them that way. Would you care for one?
No, thank you.
Oh. They're quite nutritious. Without them, I'm sure the ballroom would be much less pleasant.
What do you do? Ballroom?
This is the ballroom.
It looks like a storage room.
Oh, well, it is a storage room now. But we danced, you know. So much dancing. Such a wonderful time.
Dance or dance?
Yes. We danced. It was beautiful.
That's the problem with spiders. You have one and then you want another. You have to be careful not to eat them all.
Does that include me?
You a spider, dear?
I'm not sure anymore.
She licks her lips.
So, I wonder, would you mind getting some of these boxes off me?
I'm going to have a look at some of the books in a moment, of course.
Oh. Okay, I will stay
right here. The library over in the corner is very fine indeed.
She watches you as you wander over towards the bookshelf.
The bookshelf has sagging shelves. Obviously the books here are somewhat too heavy for it. And they're all a little damp. All the books are furry on their leather, green along the spines.
Any titles?
The titles are obscured by mould, sadly. But you can always...
I don't want to actually... I don't want to actually touch them.
That sounds awfully like you're shivering. Shivering with fear.
I'm not shivering with fear. I'm just mildly disgusted at mouldy books. It's a real pity. A real pity.
Good save there, witch.
I will pick up a mouldy book, and I shall investigate this mysterious mouldy book. And what memories does it hold?
Okay. You reach out and you lift up a mouldy book. The leather parts of it, where you pick it up and touch it, sloughs away like peeling skin. And as you crack the book, the pages are slick, almost as if oiled. But from them comes a strong smell of salt water. It seems like these must have been on a ship at some point. The ink has run in places, but the book you have here is certainly a ledger of some sort, a log, perhaps, of a sea-going vessel. And you reach the end and find that the last page speaks of a terrible storm and the captain's fears that perhaps they will founder and sink. You put it down and reach for a different book again. The leather slips and slides in your hands. Then you open it up again, and it is another ship's ledger. Different ship. Again, it ends with a terrible storm coming up, and then being afeared of foundering. Put it to one side and reach for another. Again, the slippery, slimy feel.
Okay, I shiver with fear. Fine. You win.
Excellent. You may choose one and pass the ring, or keep the ring and choose two.
Oh, I am going to pass the ring to the Virgin, and the book has the bride in its clutches now.
You begin to read this next book, and again it speaks of a terrible shipwreck. You start pulling the books from the shelves. Every one is a different ledger. Every one is a logbook from a ship that has wrecked. It speaks of storms coming up, tidal waves, being gored by mighty sea beasts. You read of ships that have been smashed against rocks and left there hanging. You read of ships that have been kept stationary by ice for weeks upon weeks until the people have been forced to eat each other. You read of mutinies where everybody has died. And the last man is writing of how he can no longer control the ship to reach him on. You read and read all of these horrors. You feel as if you read too much. And in the background of the room, you start to hear the sea. What do you do?
Virgin, because I've given you the ring.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're my favourite.
The Virgin is so pleased.
I'm so pleased. I think we need to distract ourselves by looking in some boxes and whistling a happy tune.
Okay. So you begin to try and leave the books.
Yes.
Still the still the sound of the sea follows you wherever you go in the room.
And you start humming louder.
You start humming to yourself. The woman trapped under the boxes goes, "Oh yes, I know that tune. It's a lovely sea shanty, isn't it?"
Oh no,
no. And immediately starts trying to hum along with you, but everything she hums is a sea shanty connected to the sea. You start to open up boxes, and in some you find nautical instruments, telescopes, theodolites, and other such things. I don't think you use those for the sea, but that's fine. Sextants, that's the word I was looking for. In another box, chronometers, all of them corroded. Green, brass, clouded the glass, covered in sand, or crusted with salt. Some you find with barnacles, almost as if they've been wrested from the very bottom of the sea themselves. What do you do?
I don't understand.
Well, this is the ballroom, dear.
The ball, what's that got to do with the sea?
I would have thought it was obvious. Whenever you return from the sea, you have a ball. To remind yourself that you're still alive, that you haven't died upon the dangerous sea. It's wondrous, isn't it?
Doesn't look like many
years. Oh, spider!
Maybe we should dance.
Ooh, yes. I'd love to see a dance. Dance for me.
I'm not really dressed for it now.
No, you do seem ragged. Ripped and torn. If you look in that box over there, she motions with her head. Over there has clothes in it. Go on. Dress up. It'll be better than that ragged, torn dress, and then you can dance. A little jig. Or a merry hornpipe, perhaps.
Oh, no, not a hornpipe. I don't know. No.
Ooh, she's right on the borderline of shivering with fear. So what do you do?
Go and have a curious peek at the dress, the clothes that she mentions.
You open the box. There are clothes.
The trap, all the books are the trap.
I know.
It might all be a trap. Just saying. You open the box, and inside there are indeed clothes. They are clothes the sort of which a sailor would wear. All soaking wet. Well, still damp, at least, and mouldy. Some with rents in them. Some with cuts in them. Some encrusted with barnacles.
Oh, no, I'm going to, like, drop them and close up the box.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're better as we are.
Oh, well, maybe you should just help me out. Just get these boxes off me.
I'm not sure I can manage the boxes.
Well, if you lift from the top and I push from the bottom, maybe we'll be able to shift a couple of them. Come on, come over here and give me a hand.
Just out of interest, why does it keep all this stuff?
You are, I believe, wrong page, hang on. Are you investigating a mysterious object?
Yes.
Which object in particular? Are you talking about the boxes, the books, or what?
Well, since we've just been through a box with clothes in, I'll specifically be talking about that.
Why did Blackbeard keep this item? Blackbeard makes his money in many ways. Perhaps one of the ways that he makes his money is picking up trifles that have been lost at sea. And anything
us?
Can
oh,
be
wait,
useful.
No, we weren't found at sea.
No.
Anything
but,
can be
but
useful.
But taking dead people's clothes from the bottom of the sea, that doesn't seem very nice, does it?
You can ask another question. You've got one of the last three. I know which I'd ask.
He gives an evil laugh.
I don't want to know the answer. What memories does this item hold?
Okay. You look at the barnacle-covered uniform, and you realise that you recognise the name. This is the uniform of one of the sailors that was on one of the ships that you've read the log of. The ship was called the Demeter. It was sailing in the South China Sea, and they stopped at an island and took upon some food, but over the next few days, all of the men started to complain of visions, complain of hearing things and seeing things that probably weren't there. And eventually one of them went mad and used a sledgehammer to knock a hole in the bottom of the boat. The last entry by a man called Hawkins was that the ship was sinking and that sharks were circling. And on the top of the uniform, you see the name. Hawkins.
Hawkins.
Do you do?
Worry slightly, obviously.
Yes.
You've got awfully close to shivering with fear, but haven't quite done it yet, so... Just wait.
It's all right, dear. You can do it.
Well, at this point, I'm fairly certain I've freaked the witch out. Why didn't you come and get the boxes off me, dearie? Aren't you putting those clothes on? I'm sure they'll suit you fine.
I've decided not to, actually.
Oh.
They're a bit damp, and I don't want to get a chill.
Well, you'll catch a chill with your dress all ripped up like that. And you might inflame the menfolk.
Hmm.
The fatal's like, cha-ching!
What do you do?
Don't help her. It's a trap. She's a trap. She's not going to help us. She's
trap.
Just going to eat us.
Yes.
She's a trap.
I think so.
Everything's a trap. Smush her with boxes. Oh, wait. No, that's...
Possibly a trap. Anyone would think this place is creepy and weird.
I wish we never married him.
Courage, sister, courage.
Can I... take stock and ask what horror here is hidden from the bride?
You look around and look for what horror is hidden. And your eyes are drawn to the wardrobe.
Oh, great! There's another trap! Do you still trust our husband?
But he can't have done this, surely?
this house. There's too many rooms for it to be a coincidence.
Yes, but buying relics from shipwrecks is not the same as actually, like, getting people to sink ships.
That's true. But look at the staff member buried under the boxes, and the guy plugged into the wall, and the creepy guy designed to capture us and take our purity when our husband wouldn't. And
very disloyal.
His hiring people is not great. But does that make him bad?
What do you do?
Should we?
You hear the woman shift about under her boxes a little.
Are you going to come and help me, dear? These boxes are awfully heavy.
I'll be with you in a minute.
I've grown very tired of this. The huge pile of boxes shifts as the bulk of the woman lifts itself on 8 giant legs, a bulbous pink and brown body behind it, and you realise that the woman is being puppeted by a spider. It scuttles towards you. It throws off the woman and reaches for you with claws. What do you do? What do you do?
Try to go and hide. Help!
Let's see. So, you're crying out for help.
Yes.
Roll a 2d6 and add your resilience.
A total of 8.
8. You run through the room screaming for help all the while. After a short moment, you hear the door bang open and somebody comes into the room. Hello? Hello? Who's there?
Hello?
A man comes over to you. Relatively short, balding. Very neat in dress. What's going on here?
Well, round there.
Oh, I see. He looks round the corner and sees the giant spider that up until now was puppeting a dead woman scuttling towards you. Be gone, you! We'll have no more of your tricks. You're here to keep the rats down and nothing more. The spider stops and looks at him. Don't forget, I'm also here to take care of other nuisances. The spider glares at you. Look at her, dressed like a strumpet. She's not right. He is right, you know.
Sorry?
The spider is right. You do seem to be dressed rather immodestly. You're going to have to prove to me that you are loyal to my lord. I mean, you should put some clothes on, dear.
Oh,
his eyes flicker over to the box. The Virgin looks confused. It doesn't work well on radio.
Sorry. But you're siding with the spider?
No, but he makes a good point. might not be the sword that we want around here. Prove your loyalty. Get properly dressed. Come on. Do you put on the moldy barnacle-y gloves?
I edge towards the box.
Come on, come on. Otherwise, Spidey here can eat you. And I'll have none of it.
I'll be blaming you if this makes me ill.
It's only clothes. Come on.
He sits and stands and waits, tapping his foot impatiently.
Well, there is another option. Well, I mean, after all, if it's only clothes, and you're a loyal servant, then why don't you give us your clothing?
Really?
Oh, very good.
How were you planning to do this?
Do you have a face move that is appropriate in this chair?
I remember if you do. The spider. Your beauty and charm get you what you want. When you trap a servant or horror with your feminine wiles, they will tell you a secret about either the house or Bluebeard.
Well, you see, if I were to give you...
It doesn't get us clothes.
It doesn't get you clothes, but... Also, you'd like me to strip off for you.
Oh, what you have underneath your clothes is of no concern of mine. But if you wish me to be properly attired for my husband, well...
As you wish, he starts getting his clothes off. Very soon, a naked, wizened man standing in front of you and hands you his clothes. He doesn't seem particularly bothered by the cold in this room. You see, the secret is, my dear, that the spider here is only one of our pest control methods.
You look rather good in my clothes.
Hmm.
He's obviously very appreciative of you dressed in his clothes, in fact. You can tell. He is, after all, naked.
Well, it does give me somewhere to hang the remains of the dress.
Well done.
Unless, of course, you'd like to mark a trauma to ask a question.
Yes, I will.
What question do you ask?
And what other forms of pest control might we be encountering?
You might want to steer clear of the kennels, my lady. And be aware that revels, Saturnalian delights, might summon those who give it its name. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He stands there with a wedding dress hanging off it as you leave in his clothing.
And he's going to put it in the thingy now.
Yes, he is. So, I believe it's up to the Virgin to decide how you leave the room. Are you escaping, or are you going to propose a truce about it? Remember that if you propose a truce, you will have to take some trauma. If you take if you take a faithfulness, you will heal the trauma. If you take a disloyalty, you will take a trauma. And incidentally, you will trigger the end of the games. You will have 3 disloyalty tokens.
Oh.
At this point.
I see.
It's up to you.
I'm going to go for an escape.
You're going to escape from the room. So, The servant has helped you with the spider. You get the impression that the servant himself is now expecting something thanks to the fatale.
Oh.
Now, obviously, the spider is in here with the servant. So, if the servant was
a pet
trapped under some boxes, the spider would be much more likely to let you leave.
Mm.
There's a pile of boxes right behind him. Wouldn't take much to cause them to fall on him. And it would give you enough time to escape. Or you could risk it and just try and run away. But the spider might well take that as an affront. The servant is, after all, the only one keeping it from trying to eat you. There's your options.
Well, it was nice of him to, you know, pop by and
pop by.
Help us out. But, yes.
Feed him to the spider.
Mm. I've now got his clothes on, which feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's not wearing barnacle.
Good point, well made.
Mm. Also, if you don't feed him to the spider, what's he going to do with our wedding dress?
I wouldn't like to think about it.
So basically it's either him or us.
I choose him.
No. Remember, it's not him or us. You could always give the ring to the fatale and she could ruin our chastity. or you could kill him.
Probably kill him. You might not.
He might escape. He might kill the spider. It's just a little bit of a battle royale thing.
The dude's gonna die. He's thin and spindly and naked.
I shall attempt to
knock a pile of boxes
box him.
It's very easy. You sidle up towards him as he stands there, obviously waiting for something. And just reach round and yank a box. There is a collapse, and you hear him shriek as the boxes collapse on top of him, hard-edged T-chest thudding into his thin, frail body. You see welts of blood as the piles fall down upon him. The spider lurches round the corner at high speed, looks at you, then looks at the trapped man, and goes, "Oh, thank you." Scuttles forward as the servant shrieks, "No!" It sinks its fangs into him, and he begins to wrinkle as you escape from the room.
Bon appetit.
You need to give up the ring.
Okay.
So anyway, you escape from the room. Who gets the key? Who gets the ring? Fatale or witch?
It's gonna be the witch.
Hey, witch.
Hey.
What's the next key look like? Didn't you bring us into this room?
Yeah, I did.
Wasn't it all your fault?
I'm making really good choices tonight.
Good. Well done.
Really good choices. So the next key is painted a really voluptuous red. And it's got a little heart on the end of it. And I'm certain that if anything can prove how awful our husband is, it's the one with the heart on.
Okay then. This takes you a little while to find. You have to go out of the old quarter of the castle that you found yourself in. You stagger across the way, dressed in men's clothing, and eventually find yourself in front of a door. It is indeed painted a bright, dark red. A lovely shade, all filled with sensuality and a promise. There's little golden roses as the rivets of the door, and a door knocker made of two twined figures, obviously thoroughly enjoying themselves. You open the handle, which is shaped like, well, one wouldn't like to say, and enter into the room.
Did we just see it in the other room?
Yes, you may have done. Although yeah. This one is more made of brass and slightly harder. You open the door and step into the room. The room is filled with a scent of roses and other flowers. It is overpowering. But the smell doesn't come from plants themselves, but from sticks of incense, at least the width of your thumb, all over the room that are burning. Maybe 2 or 3 feet long, all stuck into urns and vases of different types. On one side of the room, there is a huge bed, upholstered in red, and with red silken sheets and a red quilt made of wool, or something like that, anyway. There are shapes under the covers, but you can't see who they are. The bed is too large and the covers are too covering. In one corner of the room, there is a fountain, although the water in the fountain seems to be red and trickles most delightfully. And finally, in the centre of the room, there is a harp. Big, golden, metal strings. What do you do?
I am going to investigate the harp, and I play a few of the strings. And whose item is this?
You reach out and you start to play the strings, and immediately recoil as one cuts open your finger.
Oh.
Mark of a trauma.
Oh, I've only got one left.
Oh dear. Really? You're in real danger of shattering.
I think so.
She's made a lot of use of her face move.
Ah, okay. I've only got 2. This will be the second one I've coloured in for you.
It should be at least the third. She's done 2 looses of her blood to gain insight.
Oh, okay.
When I...
She cut a hand on the bucket.
When I started, my notes said I had 3 trauma left.
Oh.
3 trauma left.
And I've done 2 today.
You've done 1 today.
I've done 1 today. Okay, I've got 2 trauma left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've just ticked your third.
Yeah.
You realise that the strings are razor sharp, although they do make a pleasing sound as they slice off the end of one of your fingers.
Oh.
I'd almost say that was nearly a shiver in fear, but it seems...
No, it was a crying pain.
Of course.
Yeah.
It seems as if this harp must belong to somebody who truly enjoys pain. You hear a giggle from the bed. It's a woman's giggle.
Excellent.
You can ask another question about the object.
Why did Bluebeard keep this item?
Why? To entertain his good personal friend who, well, he might enjoy from time to time. Probably in the bed.
I'm going to rip the covers off the bed.
You wander over to the bed and tear the covers off. You do indeed find a woman in there. Well, 2. All coiled together, completely naked, but covered in red powder here and there. They look up at you, both of them, have exceedingly short fingers. Like maybe a knuckle. But certainly not
like
three.
Like they've been playing the harp a lot.
Seems as if the ends of their fingers are covered in thick scar tissue. And they look up at you and giggle. Have
so
you come
I'm
to join
to
us?
I'm going to give the ring to the Fatal.
Fair enough. You voluntarily give up the ring. You're immune to trauma until that sister passes the ring to somebody else.
Sorry.
Are you going to come and join us? Maybe have a little fun in here with us? Oh, yes. They coil together almost like snakes.
Oh, it's a trap.
Really? A trap?
So why do you give the ring to the Fatal then?
Because I'm really bad.
It's almost as if the witch is playing you all off against each other. But I think if she did that, she should have taken a different face move. The one where she gains power when one of you dies, for example.
I know, but I really wanted to play with the tarot.
Mm, true.
I figured I could still do it verbally.
Come, play with us. You'll enjoy it ever so much.
Tempting. Reach out with each hand and caress their faces.
Okay, you're caressing a horror. Roll plus blood.
A six.
You reach out and caress one of their two faces. They seem very similar, but you realise that they're not twins or even related. They've just made their faces up to look the same. One of them is pale underneath the paint, and one of them is a little more ruddy. As you caress the face of the pale one, the other one slashes your face with a razor. Take one trauma as a bead of blood runs down your face. They both lean back and giggle. Did you enjoy that? We should play music. Or maybe you should play the music. We don't really have the hands through it anymore.
Ah, well. Who needs hands? I'm going to dirty myself with violence.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh.
Going all the way for it.
Mm-hmm.
Roll plus carnality.
Yeah, everything I have zero in it. Pudge six.
You reach out and try and slap one across the face, but she just catches your hand. Leans down. Bites into your fingers as hard as she can. You hear the bone of your ring finger crunch in her teeth. Yeah, that is another trauma.
Yeah, so I'm down to one trauma.
She pushes you away. Oh, boring.
I'm going to pass the ring back to the witch. I'm not dying.
Thank you.
Really, I should possibly have made that two trauma and asked you if you wanted to share it, but never mind. I've done it now. The witch, you have the ring. Come on. You know you want to play with us.
So you like to be hurt, then?
Who doesn't?
I will take one of these sticks of incense and dirty myself with violence again.
it's like all the dirtying with violence is happening all at once. Okay, nominate somebody to roll for you and tell them what your carnality is.
Hardwick, and I believe my carnality is...
Zero.
Oh, shit.
So...
Yeah.
You rolled an 8.
Okay, so you can either disable them, silence them, or mutilate them. But you also have to choose your vulnerability opens you up to trauma, or your carelessness leaves you in a bad spot.
I am going to disable them and be in a bad spot.
Okay. You reach out and grab one of the insect sticks, and they look partially excited and partially afraid as you jab forwards with the insect stick, burning one of them on the neck and the other one on the right breast. They cower back on the bed, and you drop it onto the bed, which starts to smoulder and burn. Oh. What do you do? They cower in a corner far away from you now. But the room is starting to fill with smoke. It's quite sickly sweet smoke, though.
There's a fountain. We can put it out with the wine. No.
It does seem to be a fountain of wine, yes.
Well, what else would be in a fountain that was red?
Blood?
No. No. Bad for Tal. Bad.
Surely it can't be blood. What do you do?
If it's blood, it'll be better for putting out the... Wait. Fire. I'm going to propose a truth about this room. I think that our husband wasn't interested in us because he's got these women here.
That sounds awfully like you want to take a token of disloyalty.
I will consult with my sisters.
I suppose that depends on what you consider loyalty or disloyalty. I mean, men, as we all know, they could never truly be satisfied with one woman. Not that they could ever satisfy even one woman.
Virgin?
I don't know. I mean, it does seem a bit odd that they're here.
Yes, that's the odd part.
Understatement of the century, sorry.
But why else would they be here lying, you know, naked and whatever?
Naked and fingerless.
Well, yeah, the fingerless bit is the oddity, I suppose, but...
The flames are starting to lick up from the bed now. You should probably propose a truth so that you can leave. And what token do you take from the room as well?
The sheets. The stained sheets filled with his disloyalty.
You take a token of your disloyalty then.
I think of it as his disloyalty now.
Stained.
First time I've heard that euphemism for it.
And at this point, I believe we have triggered the end of Bluebeard's Bride. But will it be the end of Bluebeard's Bride or not? The bride has collected enough evidence to prove her husband's malicious intentions as a disloyal bride. It's time for you to make your choice. Do you present your evidence to the town, or do you run away to start anew? Discuss amongst yourselves.
I want to run away, but if we don't present it to the town, he's going to keep on doing things like this to women.
Yes, but surely if other brides have worked this out and they've tried to tell people, it obviously hasn't worked.
Well, they're just not as good as us, clearly. Besides, if we are to prove that he is cruel and wicked and he is punished, we will keep his treasure.
Is that all you think of?
Not all I think of, but let's be honest, dear. We run away and what do we have? We have nothing.
That's better than this, though.
So perhaps
a vote. Virgin, do you vote to present your evidence or run away?
Gonna go for running away.
Fatal.
Presenting the evidence.
And which?
I'm going to go for presenting the evidence. I can't let anyone else fall into these traps. As much as I want to run away.
You travel to the town and present your evidence. Virgin, what did the town do to rid themselves of your disloyal ravings?
I expect there was, like, possibly being tied up with fire. Not tied with fire, but
tied up and fire. Fatal. How did Bluebeard blackmail the bride's family into silence?
Nothing too complex. He paid them.
He does have a fantastic amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Which? What yep. loving gift does Bluebeard send the bride for their wedding anniversary?
Sticks of incense.
Virgin, what new room in Bluebeard's house haunts the bride's dreams every night?
New room?
New room. A room we never saw, or possibly didn't exist.
It's a nicely laid out dining room.
Mm-hmm.
With a kind of pretty flowered wallpaper and tapestry.
Fatal, how do you make yourself at home in that perfect new room as another one of the terrors in Bluebeard's house?
As the centrepiece on the dinner table, asking to be eaten.
Oh, nice.
Lovely. And that brings us to the end of Bluebeard's Bride. Before we finish the session, though, how did people find that?
That was weird and creepy and
well, creepy, interesting.
Creepy, yeah.
Creepy was intentional. This is one. Well, this is the first Powered by the Apocalypse game the cult has ever played. And I know from listening to other groups play Powered by the Apocalypse games, they take a bit of getting used to. The stuff with moves and face moves and all of the other stuff. The one thing I would say is this is hard work to run.
Yeah, it does strike me as if there's a lot on the groundskeeper, but on the other hand, if you've got it prepped and stuff, it's a really fucking fun.
The problem is you can't prep it.
Yeah.
Because well, you sort of could.
You can come up with some ideas.
But the first question you ask for each room is, what does the key look like?
Yeah.
And then you've got to create the room from the key.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly,
I guess.
Go on.
You could have plug and play servants and horrors, though.
Yes.
But are based on specific.
Well, they give me.
Tropes.
Where is it? They give me a sheet of. Where is it? Bollocks, I'll put a piece of paper somewhere. That, room threats. So rooms are supposed to come in four types: body, motherhood, religion, and sexuality, which have subsets of beauty. Well, I won't go through them all because there's loads of them. And then they're supposed to have room moves that I can trigger off if you're like taking your time or prevaricating or something. But the problem is, if you're making the room up on the fly, putting them into these things is really difficult as you do it.
Yeah.
The room, the book in its example of play says, she asked them to describe the next key. And then after a few minutes when she's decided what the room is, they start to play. Which is fine, but I think that would really break play up.
Mm.
But it might be a healthy break as well, if True. It's been a particularly creepy session.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to creepy, we're pretty good here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing very well.
But, go on.
Well, I was also going to say, it could have played... I think the worst horror was the guy in the tarot room.
Mm.
Because that really played against the fragility of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... because my understanding was it's quite a... almost feminist, because it's so horrible to women. Roleplay game?
It is intended to be, yes.
Mm.
I think the least effective room was probably the box room, in terms of getting the "oh, it's all horrible to women" message across.
Mm.
Because
I really like the sea.
Yeah, that was like, where would be the last thing you'd expect to find in the attic?
Mm.
The sea.
Yeah.
The last thing you'd expect to find in the attic? The sea.
Is
that what was in the wardrobe?
You never opened the wardrobe.
Yeah, I know.
The wardrobe was going to contain the spider's various suits.
Oh, right. Okay.
And if you'd have opened the wardrobe, you would have found, like, all these emptied out people hanging up on hangers, mm. at which point the spider mm. would have gone, oops, right, poof, hi, coming to eat you now.
A spider is traditionally quite an anti-female trope,
mm.
so that was quite useful.
Well, I mean, one of the Fatale's faces is literally called the spider.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the one you took, in fact.
Yeah, it's the one that using your beauty and charm to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And if you planned certain themes, such as the menses, you could have tied the theme of the sea in with that.
Yeah.
In quite a literary way. For now.
For now. Indeed, for now. But yeah, I think it went all right. I don't know whether I'd run it again. I might do, but I'd have to be in the right sort of frame of mind for it.
Yeah, I would like to play one from the start at some point.
Yes, yes.
It was weird coming into it halfway through.
Well, yes.
I think it would be interesting to play it again with us again.
Hmm.
Because we'd all have a lot more understanding of how the game works, so we could have made it a lot more horrific.
Yeah, freaky and fucking weird. Really yeah. I mean, the other problem from the groundskeeper's point of view is creeping you all out without just being horrific and weird.
Yeah.
Because you got to kind of walk the line.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where the magic room, as I'm going to refer to it, the creepy guy in the magic room, it was like, he was intended to be overtly sexual, but at the same time, I didn't want to go straight to, and then he sticks his hand up your pants, because that would actually kind of break the tension of it, because it's like, oh, well, he's just gone there, it's fine now, we'll just beat him the shit up. It was all like, supposed to be suggestive, but not quite over the line. Sort of nearly over the line. He was obviously pushing the line as hard as he could to see if, well, for example, if you'd have caressed that particular horror, it would have ended badly, wouldn't it?
Well, I did caress the horror, I just did it in a diversionary way.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You caressed the horror successfully.
Yeah.
How did you, Harvick? How did you find the game?
It was interesting. I'm just wondering how restricted we were with only having three players at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be better with more, I think, because you'd get more conversation amongst the sections. What are they called?
Yeah, and then it's not just, you know, passing
the ring backwards and forwards.
In a circle kind of thing.
I don't know if we were doing that right. Go on.
The fact that anyone can do the maiden moves.
Mm.
So in theory, if there were five players, you could have four different people investigating objects before the person who's holding the ring even acts.
Of course. From the point of view of the people watching the bride, it looks like she's just wandering around touching everything.
She's just everywhere.
Adventure game protagonist.
Yeah.
I really like this mouldy book.
No, look at the clothes, the mouldy clothes.
I have to admit, I was quite pleased with the mouldy book, making you shudder with fear.
Oh, yuck. I didn't even know that was a fear until now.
Yeah, I've had to deal with books that have gotten into that state as well. It's horrible.
Oh.
It's a crime against books. I think I probably will run it again, and if I do run it again, I'll probably run it with this group again. Probably try and build it up to 5 people. The problem is it's got quite a lot of improvisation for everybody.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the majority of it is done by the groundskeeper, but the players also have to do quite a bit of improvisation. And one of the things I didn't manage to really build in was your answers to the questions. Because I was intending for chickens to feature and leather bracelets to feature, but I never actually got round to it.
Leather bracelets would have fit very well into the bondage room.
Yeah, the creepy heart bondage room would definitely have been a place to put the bracelets in.
And maybe the chickens.
Depends on how hard into the bondage he is, doesn't it? I think we probably will run this again, and I'll probably try and run it with a full group next time. But anyway, anyone got any final things?
The only thing I would say is it'd be worth getting a little list from each person of things that they definitely cannot cope with.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess that's what the X card is for.
True. I mean, the problem with that is, one, some people don't know. For example, you didn't know, you didn't like slimy books. The other possible problem I foresee with that is some people don't like saying.
Yeah.
But it's also another thing to look at when you're trying to make things up.
And it's like thinking about pink elephants. If somebody says to you, don't think about pink elephants, what jumps instantly into your mind is pink elephants. Oh, I really don't like eye trauma. No! Every idea I've got now is eye trauma. Because I know how my brain works. I could see it working, but at the same time, I think if I tried to do that, it would probably make it more likely to occur. just because when you're in the flow, it's like, I'm going to do this. Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, why did I get that idea? Oh, yeah, they told me not to do that. So, shoot. Okay. I'm starting again. For example, spiders. I think it was it's certainly a successful horror game. It is pretty damn creepy. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bluebeard's a fucking dick.
And Bluebeard is indeed a fucking dick. So, I'm going to do the bit that I do at the end. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you, and I'm going to use the air quotes, enjoyed, end air quotes, this session of The Cult of Tea and Dice. If you did, then you can talk to us at thecultofteaanddice.net, or you can send us email at thecultofteaanddice@gmail.com. You can talk to us on the Twitters @cultofteaandice. You can talk to me @Mordrigan. You can talk to him @BloodedFox. I don't think you can talk to anybody else.
No.
If you could and you are willing to, please do leave us iTunes reviews. I found a thing that will actually tell us when we've got iTunes reviews when it starts working again. We've actually got some extra iTunes reviews. At some point I will do a thing where I read them all out, but we're running out of time today, so I'm not going to do that right now. But yes, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.